Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off the daily editorials today with a company update, more so from Exelon Resources. Traded on the TSX under the symbol EXN and on the NYSE also under the symbol EXN. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Brendan Cahill. Now, Brendan, it is the first time that I'm having you on the show, but we're not going to get too much into the history of Exelon simply because I know a lot of my listeners know about this company and there's so much work that's going on especially three projects that are controlled by the company that I really want to focus on each one of these projects and what some of the catalysts are going to be in the near term. Let's start with the Platosas mine. Now, this is in Mexico. This is touted as one of the highest grade silver producers in Mexico. Can you give us an update of the current operations that are happening at Platosa now, please?
Sure. Thanks, Corey. So Platosa is Mexico's highest grade silver mine. It's actually been in operation since 2005. So we restarted it in Q3 after the government imposed shutdown in Q2 for preventing the pandemic. But during Q2, we had the chance to make a number of improvements in the operation. We reduced the workforce significantly as we moved from three shifts a day to two shifts a day, getting our people at the face a lot more, having our best people working, really simple way of increasing productivity. We renegotiated our offtake agreements on zinc. We changed our mining method. And then in Q4, we moved to a natural gas-backed energy supply, which under normal conditions reduces our electricity prices quite significantly. So Q3, Q4 of last year, we saw record tonnage produced from the mine, excellent metal production, very good recoveries, and Q3 results are out. Saw our all-in sustaining costs go down to around $18 per payable silver ounce, a big improvement over recent quarters. So the Platosa operation going very well. We've been impacted by the polar vortex, as has most of northern Mexico, so putting some pressure on Q1. But definitely the operation has set up is a big improvement over the way it was a year ago this time.
So outside of, let's say, the hiccup from this polar vortex, give us a recap of some of the financial information in terms of cash flow back in the last couple quarters and what you guys are predicting in the future quarters, please.
Yeah, so Q3 of last year was a good example. Mine operating earnings, excluding depreciation, of about just under $4 million. We spent about $1.8 million on CapEx, which was relatively high spend if you look at going forward. So when you think about Platosa going forward, those are the kind of numbers we'd like to see. All-in sustaining costs during Q3 were around $18, as I mentioned. We want to get those a bit lower as this electricity contract kicks in and we continue to improve productivity and then see some improvements on the offtake market for our products. Way to look at Platosa is really, it's high grade silver mine, direct exposure to the silver price and the silver market. I think something that investors, we definitely like to be in right now. And it just generates the cash flow that we need to both keep the mine operation going, but then find new things. That's a really big focus for us, both at Platosa, on Kilgore, and Silver City, the three key projects for us right now and over the next few years.
Okay, so that's key. This project is producing cash flow so that you are going out there and exploring at all of the other projects. Just a quick question, though, regarding the CapEx that you said was a little bit higher in Q3 at $1.8 million. Why was it a little bit higher, and what do you expect moving forward in terms of continuing CapEx?
Yeah, I mean, ordinary course items that come up once in a while, expansion of the tailings dam was kind of the year to be doing it, and some long-term investments in our dewatering system at the mine, and that spending was kind of crystallized in Q3 of last year.
So then in terms of current mine life, where does this project sit, and what do you think is possible in terms of continuing to expand on that mine life?
Yeah, so the mine life right now is around 3 to 4 years, and that's kind of been the case for the past, for the past many years. It started with a very small resource back in 2005 of only 60,000 tons, and we've continued to expand the resource over the years. Some very good drill results out earlier in February, on February 1st, 4.2 meters at 1,200 grams silver equivalent. And starting to define a new panel, I'd call it, of mineralization both within the mine and then connected with some exploration drilling we were doing from surface earlier in 2020. You know, this is an area of the mine where we couldn't drill it from surface very effectively, or the drilling from surface, mostly vertical holes, couldn't find this vertical potential panel of mineralization. And then connected with the zone that we started to hit about 250 meters outside of the bounds of the deposit, where we're starting to see some high, massive sulfide clasts, which are a good indicator of near manto-style mineralization, which is what we're mining at Platosa. So, all of that's being followed up on right now. The surface drilling, we're permitting to continue that program from surface. And to give you a sense of scale, the Platosa mine is about 600 by 700 meters, length by width. To hit stuff that's 250 meters outside of that boundary, you're talking about a very sizable increase in the potential of the deposit. So, our goal at Platosa from an exploration perspective is really grow Platosa, find more Platosas, and then find the source of Platosa. So in what we've been talking about now, that grow Platosa got some very good vectors to do so, and the drilling is ongoing.
Okay, let's move on to the Kilgore property. That's in Idaho. This was an acquisition from Otis Gold just last year. Currently has a resource of about 1 million ounces, but from my understanding, you guys are looking at this more as a exploration play, expanding on the ounces and even looking for new discoveries. What insights can you give us on the exploration plans?
Yeah, so 1 million ounces, there's actually a PEA on the project, which gives it an NPV at current metal prices of $300 million US at $1,800 gold. So we acquired Otis for about $22 million Canadian, just before the pandemic, just before gold prices really started to take off. So a very well-timed trade and, great, accretive transaction for the company. We look at it as an exploration play in most respects, just because of the growth and potential that we see on the project. 1 million ounces at 0.5 gram in kind of a steam heated zone near surface, very much open for expansion to the north, south, and west. But then deeper beneath that deposit, there's an area called the Aspen Formation, which underlies the whole project, the 18,000 acres that we have on the project. And, there we've got intersections drilled in 2015 and 16 of up to 4.2 grams over 95 meters, 5.4 grams over 31 meters. These are diamond drill holes, more focused on the structure. And that's what we really have to follow up on. That's where we think this project can go from 1 million ounces to having the potential of more like 3 to 5 million ounces. And, we're not talking about sulfide mineralization in these holes versus oxide, what's in the resource. This is mostly free gold in an arcosic sandstone. So, thinking further in the future, recoveries should be very amenable. At the very bottom of these holes, we start to see more sulfide-style mineralization, hotter part of the system, higher grade, and you start to chart the path towards a potential underground aspect of the deposit in the future. Stepping back further, though, the project itself, we've got boots on the ground up to 6 to 10 kilometers away. We're seeing, golden stream seds. We're seeing gold mineralization and outcrops of this Aspen Formation. So really is a fascinating project to be exploring. And our focus right now, expanding the resource, the existing resource, while also charting the path to, multiples on that resource with both deeper and regional style exploration.
Okay, so a lot of exploration sounds like going on here. When do you expect to be able to start drilling, and do you have an estimate of how many meters you hope to drill, at least this year?
Yeah, so we're in the permitting phase for the next drilling program. It's U.S. Forest Service land, so the EA has been put out for public comments, and we're working through those comments now, aiming to have that EA finalized by the spring and be drilling here by in July. July 15th would be the kickoff date. We haven't put out a note on how much we'll be drilling here this year, but it's going to be a very key part of our exploration program in 2021 once we do start drilling.
Okay, one final question when it comes to Kilgore. In terms of a long-term plan, do you foresee the company developing this project yourself or expanding it to a certain level when you would need to make that decision? How is that going to play out?
Yeah, I think the important thing is that we have a team that can go from here, where we are now, all the way through permitting, development, and into production. And that's a key part. So, you know, our goal is to follow the process, right? You know, do the permitting to get the drilling, do the drilling, determine the size of the project, grow it, you really get a handle on how big the potential here could be, and then move on to the next phase of permitting, financing, and development if that's how things play out. You know, if you find things that are of high enough quality, there's always the potential for an acquisition or a transaction or a deal. And we're traders by heart. So, you know, you do what's best for the company and the shareholders along the way. But really focused on the process one step at a time here. Right now, the most exciting thing is to be putting a proper drilling program together on this project and showing Kilroar's true potential.
All right. Thank you. Let's move on to Silver City property. That's in Germany. This is a historic mine, but I know talking to you off mic, you're quite excited about what could come out of some of the exploration at Silver City. Please share some of the details of what the plans are.
Yeah, I don't know how smiles come across on radio, but every time I start talking about this project, I get one. And it's because it's just such a fascinating slice of history and then an extraordinary piece of geology. You know, a project that was mined, multiple mines, over 36 kilometers of strike and really in an entire mining region for 800 years, from the 11th century through to the late 19th century. And, you know, Germany moved off the silver standard in 1873 to the gold standard, and silver prices globally plummeted. This is right after the American Civil War as well, so huge monetary disruption. Germany moves to the gold standard, drops that during World War I, and then slides into the Weimar Republic, hyperinflationary, Great Depression, World War II, and then Saxony, where the project is, becomes part of East Germany. And under communist sway, the interest wasn't in high-grade silver. It was in lead and zinc and, you know, the base metal part of the system, which is just to the southeast. So there's this incredible slice of history, 20th century history, that also feeds into where we are today. You know, a period where we see similar kinds of monetary disruption, a big macroeconomic and macro political movements. And the history of Silver City is really a microcosm of everything that we're seeing today. So the incredible thing is we got on the project then in the fall of 2019. We're the first people ever to drill it, to explore it with modern exploration. And then it was about the process again, keep on hitting on the process of, you know, what can we do here? Can we permit? Yes, we put in the permits in January for drilling, first program in modern times. We got them by May. This is in the midst of the pandemic, probably would have been sooner, but for the logistical challenges. We got rigs on the project in July. Definitely some curiosity from our local neighbors, but acceptance as well, curiosity and interest. And so then we start hitting this epithermal system, beautiful epithermal system. You know, you'd be happy seeing it in Fresnillo, over kilometer after kilometer of strike. We've defined now 12 kilometers of epithermal strike, seeing the beautiful kind of textures that we want to see in the drill core, and then getting assays back later in the year and hitting high grade, up to half a meter at a kilo per ton silver equivalent, exactly what we want to see. You know, high grade silver with a bit of gold. It's about 925 grams silver with half a gram of gold. So beautiful mineralization there. The only challenge we have on the project right now is really one that's a little bit out of our control, is just getting assays back. And that's, you know, the bane of the industry right now, but it's the bane of the bull market, I guess you could say, where every assay lab is backed up because there's so much interest in the market and interest in exploration. So, you know, we'll take that with patience. We've got another 9 holes left to come. Should have some results out very, very shortly. Right now just setting up for a 2021 program to follow up on the areas that we've defined with high grade mineralization, start filling those out a bit more while we continue to look for additional discoveries on the 36 kilometer strike of the project.
All right, Brendan, we're going to wrap it up here. Look, there is a lot of exploration that this company is undertaking with that high-grade silver mine in production in Mexico that does provide some of that cash flow for the company. I know there's a lot more that we could dig into each of these projects, but I want to hear from you, all of my listeners, in the sense of what interests you of this project and any of the specific projects that you have questions on or want a little bit more clarity on. You can email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Brendan back on the show to address some of those questions. So, Brendan, great chatting with you. Thank you for the update today.
Thanks very much, Corey.